Good morning, Way Fellowship Church. We're going to be in the book of Psalms today, specifically Psalm 23, almost a chapter there. Psalm 23, we had been walking through the book of Acts, if you've been with us for a while, but we're taking a break, a three-week break, looking at the Psalm 23 of David. If you're new to the Bible, that's right in the middle. We got a black Bible in the seat in front of you. You can just open it right to the middle, and you should hit Psalm. And would you guys please stand as we just read this short psalm? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me just pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen to reveal yourself to us. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would open our mind, our hearts, to receive it, and to be obedient to it. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I have been, a pastor for a short amount of time. It's only been 6 years. But in 6 years, the thing that breaks my heart the most, the thing that I hate the most, the aspect of this role that I just, that makes me want to quit on Mondays, okay, are those people in the flock who choose not to listen to the shepherd's voice. Time and time again, you communicate God's truth, His principles, the truth that brings life, but yet there's always those particular sheep who are just unwilling to listen to the voice of the shepherd, and your heart breaks. Because in a sense, God has entrusted their care to you here on earth, and you want what's best for them. You want them to find ultimate satisfaction in Jesus alone, not in the things of this world. But so often, it's the things of this world, it's the voices, it's the loud screams, it's all the distractions that this world has to offer. They choose to follow those voices instead of the gentle, loving voice of the shepherd. And we're looking at Psalm 23. In the context that it is the shepherd's voice that brings life. It is the shepherd's voice in the midst of all this chaos that directs us on straight paths, that brings protection to our life, our family. The shepherd who meets all of our needs. The shepherd who cares for each of us intimately, who knows each of us by name. And the choice that we have today as we're looking at this particular passage is, are we going to listen to the voice of the shepherd? Are we going to continue listening to the voices that scream for our attention in this world? Because he gives peace. He gives wisdom. He gives joy. He gives life. He gives power. And all those voices out there, all of them bring death. They just do. He is the only voice that brings life. And so today's central truth is our love for Jesus and our willingness to follow Jesus is birthed out of his love and care for us. We can love the Good Shepherd. We can follow the Good Shepherd because we know that he loves each of us. We know that he is actively caring for each of us. Last week, we looked at two important truths. Number one, he purchased us from death. These are in your notes. Last week we talked about the Good Shepherd is the one who purchased us. He owns us. For those of us who have chosen to give lordship to Jesus Christ. We've surrendered our life to Him. He gave up His life as a ransom. He redeemed us. He purchased us on the cross. We belong to Him. And part of following the voice is first coming into submission to the voice, understanding that He owns us as Creator and also as Redeemer. And then we also looked at the fact that He loves us in such a way that He provides everything that we need. Verse 1 says that we lack nothing. And He's the good shepherd providing for all of our basic needs and more. But today, we're going to look at three new truths. And the first one is that we can follow the shepherd because we know He will always pick us up when we fall. He loves us that much that when we fall, scrape our knee, and get our boo-boos, He loves us. And He always will. So look with me at verse 3. It says, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. And I'm going to do some background work, some work that we covered a little bit last week, but I feel it's important if you're coming in new with us today. He is referring to who? He is referring to verse 1, the Lord. In your translations, they say, look at it, verse 1, Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That refers to Yahweh, the Hebrew name for God, the covenantal name Yahweh, the God that they worship, the God that revealed himself to them in history. And then when you get to the New Testament, because the book of the Bible is divided into two parts, when you get to the New Testament, you discover something pretty amazing. The New Testament teaches that Jesus is Yahweh. David, talking about the Lord, He restores my soul. We can process that as Christians, knowing that we are talking about our Lord, the one who revealed Himself in flesh, Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He restores our soul. He purchased our soul on the cross, but He also goes beyond that and He restores our soul. So what does that mean? First, I want to go backwards and talk about this idea of purchasing, okay? He purchased our soul. He purchased us. All right, this is the good news. This is why we gather as Christians. God. God is holy. God is holy. He's perfect. He's pure. And in His holiness, He created creation. And every single time He created something, He said, it is what? Good. It was perfect. But what happened to that perfect creation? Number two, man. Man happened. Man chose to rebel against the Creator. Man said, I think I know better than you do. And he turned his back on what God had told him, and he did it his way. And because of man's decision, all of us are prone to screwing up in this world. All of us have this rebellious spirit against a God, against the God, against Creator God, against Jesus. Okay? And that's the state that we live in. A bunch of voices screaming all around us, listen to me, I got it right, do this, do that. Instead of listening to the Creator who says, I love you, I offer forgiveness, walk in my ways. Okay? So, God, man, and then what? Who shows up next? Jesus. Who? Jesus shows up next. And Jesus cancels out all the sin. Jesus takes upon Himself all of the sin, all of the consequences that are due. And He cleans the slate so that we can have fellowship with God once again. Paving the way so that we actually want to listen to the Creator. Holy God, sinful man, substitutionary Jesus, taking our place. Salvation Jesus, being our Savior. And He purchased us, little lambs, little sheep, and drew us into His fold. so that we are His, so that we have been redeemed. But it doesn't just end there. Okay, because you know that sheep sometimes go off, wander. Sheep sometimes get snatched, taken away from the flock. We're going to talk about how they fall over and they can't get up. David says, He restores my soul. Jesus is still in the business of saving us today. Turn myself off. Turn myself back on. I'm on. All right, the shepherd restores the snatched sheep. Okay, first thing on your stone, on your notes, I can't even say it. That's like alliteration. The shepherd restores the snatched sheep. Sheep are snatched. Lions, bears, and wolves. 1 Samuel 17:34. But David said to Saul, Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. David, a shepherd boy, talking about rescuing the sheep. The imagery, there was a lion with the lamb in its mouth. And David went after it, knocked it over the head, grabbed the sheep, rescued the sheep. 1 Peter 5:8, Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Acts 20:29-30, talking about the church. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Men speaking twisted things. The voices of this world competing with the voice of the shepherd. And sheep are snatched away by the lies of the flesh, the devil, and the world. But praise God, Jesus loves His sheep. And Jesus goes after His sheep. And Jesus restores His sheep. Number two, the shepherd restores the wandering sheep. Matthew 18:12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? One of the most famous parables is the prodigal son. The son who went away, the son who comes back, the son who wanders off, the son who comes back into the fold, into relationship, into fellowship with God once again. We've seen it. We've seen people go off the reservation. They've left the flock. They've left the church. But you know what? God, in His time, in His season, in His sovereignty, and in His love, brings them back. Because He cares and He loves for His sheep. And you know, there's been seasons in your life where you've wandered away. But praise God, He's merciful, He's forgiving, and He draws us back. No matter how far off we venture, He chases us down and brings us back. Number three, the last one here, the shepherd restores the cast sheep. This is a shepherding term, and it refers to a sheep that falls over and can't get up. A sheep finds a cozy, soft spot in the pasture, lounges out, basking in the sun, rolls over, his back gets wedged into a little divot, and he realizes he's stuck. And his feet are out like this, and he can't turn. So he starts to panic, starts to bleat. His other sheep can't help him. He can't help himself. The only thing that can help him is the shepherd. He's just totally stuck. And here's the deal. Sheep get scared easily. Remember how we talked about that last week? This sheep starts freaking out. It starts freaking out. It gets scared. The adrenaline kicks in. All these gases start building in the stomach, and it puts pressure on the spine, and it puts pressure on all the blood vessels. And within 2 or 3 hours, that sheep is dead if the shepherd doesn't come. It just can't turn itself up. But the shepherd eventually finds the sheep. The shepherd is always watchful, night and day, with his eyes on the sheep, looking for the predators, looking for the cast sheep, looking for 1, 2, 3, 4, where's the 99? Oh, where's Lucy at? Counting them, knowing if one wanders off, and chasing them down. So how does a sheep become cast? How does a sheep become cast? I think you can figure this out, okay? A sheep gets cast because it's too fat. It's too round. It's been doing nothing but enjoying life and eating, enjoying those green pastures, kicking it in the green pastures. How do we get cast? How do we become cast sheep? Living it up, sensualism, materialism, getting comfortable, doing life, spending money, hoarding money, making money, where we get comfortable. We get stuck. And we're dying inside. Because that stuff really doesn't give life. The other way that a sheep gets cast is they have too much wool. So they're too round, and they're even rounder with all that wool. And what happens if the shepherd doesn't shear it, it just gets bigger and bigger, but it also gets clumped up with all sorts of debris. Sticks, mud, collecting parasites. When I was in high school, every freshman was issued a PE shirt. Remember those? And there was always these guys who were so proud that they never washed their shirt for the whole year. And by the end of the year, they'd open up that locker and they'd pull out the cardboard shirt, put it on, and it was like cardboard. It had obtained so much sweat, salt, mud, dirt, and everything else that a boy, teenage boy, can collect. What have we collected? What has come onto us in stock that gets us in trouble in this world? The things of this world that stick to us and weigh us down, again, rob us of life. Well, the shepherd has to shear the sheep. He has to remove all this stuff. And the sheep doesn't like it as the shepherd's doing it. And the shepherd really doesn't like it as the sheep are doing it, or the sheep are receiving it, because sheep bite. But the shepherd loves the sheep, has his best interest in mind, and shears that wool off. And then Lucy goes frolicking through the pasture again and is less prone to getting stuck. Psalm 42:5, David in another psalm writing, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation." Have you been feeling empty, lost, out of balance, weighted down? Could it be that you've been buying the lies of those voices, chasing after other things, getting soaked in other things instead of listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd? What's interesting about this word, still in verse 3, I know, I take forever, but we're still in verse 3. The word restores in the Hebrew is actually, he turns back. And this is a big theological concept. It means to repent. It's where we get the word repentance. You're going this way, but you repent, you turn around, and you go back towards Jesus. He restores my soul. How is my soul restored? It's when I stop chasing after this stuff, and I turn back to the shepherd. This stuff is death. He is life. So when we fall, here's the cool thing. When we fall, He doesn't get angry. He's not thinking stupid sheep. He's got one thing on His mind. My sheep. And He runs, He sprints to the sheep that has been cast down, knowing that He's only got a couple hours to right him, to rub out the muscles, to get the blood flowing, to set him down and let that sheep go frolicking with his friends again. He's not thinking stupid sheep. He's thinking my sheep. And He loves the sheep and He chases after the sheep. So listen closely. There is no need to feel embarrassment or shame or dejection when we fall, when we trip, when we wander away from the Lord. He loves us. And what He wants is us. So if you have been going this way away from the sheep, I'm sorry, away from the shepherd, turn. He loves you. He's forgiven you. He saves. Right now, He saves. So, we follow Him because He picks us up. He restores us. He forgives us. And number four, because we know He will lead us on a straight path. We trust Him. We can follow the voice of the shepherd because we have the confidence that He's going to lead us on a straight, smooth path. Second part of three, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. We are not scared sheep running away from something. We are joyous, loving sheep running to Jesus. Because we know He is right. Left to ourselves, guys, left to ourselves, we can't survive. Sheep cannot survive. They cannot defend themselves. They cannot protect themselves. They can't even make good decisions about what water to drink. Left to themselves, sheep cannot survive. The other weird facet about this is that if they're left out on the shepherd, on the pasture for an extended period of time, sheep will eat that down to the root. If you do not move the sheep will sit there and eat and eat and eat and eat all the way down to the root until you got a desert where they literally destroy the landscape. So they eat everything and they also pollute everything. They're eating, they're polluting, eating, polluting. And the pastures are just gone if they're left to themselves. So what must happen? The shepherd must do what? Move them. They're constantly being moved to a new pasture. It requires that they follow the shepherd to this new pasture. And the truth is, guys, in Christianity, in our lives in general, we're either moving forward or we're moving backward. There is no present. I broke my knee. I blew out my knee so about 7.5 years ago, I blew out my knee. And I laid in bed for a couple weeks, and then I had a brace for, 4 more weeks or whatever. But before I got to physical therapy, my leg just shriveled. It's called atrophy, right? Without movement, everything becomes smaller, dies. And we kid ourselves as Christians. We think, oh, we're okay. We're just kind of maintaining. That's not the Christian life. If we're not moving towards Jesus, we're slipping backwards. And so He's out there leading, and we are to follow Him on what He refers to as these righteous paths. Okay? Jesus leads us forward in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's three parts to this. First, we are to walk in these paths of righteousness. What the heck is righteousness? A big fancy church word. Righteousness means straight. All right? It's straight. It's like a straight stick. Hebrews, very visual. God is righteous. He is straight. That's in complete contrast to another word called iniquity that you see in the Bible. Iniquity is a bent stick. So man is iniquitous. He's bent. He's crooked. God is what? Straight. And the cool thing is, Jesus makes us straight. He straightens us out. We are all bent and twisted and crooked, and He straightens us out. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake He made Him who knew no sin to what? To be sin." I think I left something out there. "So that we might become the righteousness of God." On the cross, Jesus took upon Himself all of the iniquity, all of the bentness, all the crookedness, all the twistedness of our soul. He took that upon Himself. He received it. And we get that. But the other thing I never heard when I was being brought up was the teaching that we also, though, we got rid of all the garbage, but He poured into us His goodness. He poured into us His righteousness. Jesus makes us straight. Now, we're still a little crooked, aren't we? But we're straighter than what we used to be. And again, there's going to come a day where we will be made completely straight. So because He made us righteous, we can walk on these righteous paths. Kind of like He gave us the ticket to get onto the path, because we ourselves have been declared and made righteous. So righteous paths. Number two, He leads us on these paths. Number two, He actually is the one who leads us on these paths. This word paths is actually a picture of an entrenchment in a road. Have you ever been like on a path and there's like another path because everyone walks on that particular path? It's an entrenchment. Jesus leads us on this entrenchment of righteousness. What does that mean? It means Jesus has walked this for us already. Jesus has already gone on this road. And we're following in the footsteps of the one who already accomplished everything for us. Jesus paved the way. And so all we do is follow the leader and remain in the divot that He created. He does this for us. We are to walk, follow daily on this righteous path that He has created. And then number three, it's all for His namesake. It's for Him. It's not about us. It's for Him. We are to follow Jesus. Why? Because we're going to get something? No. We follow Jesus because He has called us to. We follow Jesus wherever He may lead. I will go. And He's the one dictating where He's taking us. Because He has purposes that are much bigger than us. We're one sheep, but He's got 100, obviously more. What's the problem? Flesh, world, devil. We want to listen to those voices instead of following the one who has already paved the way to life. So, what's the problem? Flesh, world, devil, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The enemy doesn't want us on this path. You and I are constantly, daily fighting the battle of deciding, are we going to follow the shepherd's voice or are we going to follow someone else's voice? Because don't kid yourself, you're going to follow somebody. There's going to be times where we don't feel like following the shepherd. There's going to be times where we don't feel like we hear His voice as clearly as we once did. But there's that path. And we see Him in the distance. And we follow. Last one for today, number five. We follow the shepherd because we know He never leaves us. We follow the shepherd because we know He will never leave us. Verse 4, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jesus never promised that life is going to be easy. It's a straight path, but there's still going to be rocks in it. There's still going to be things to stumble over. There's going to be outside forces that are at bay. He promised the opposite. He promised actually that life was going to be hard. But we know that if we fail, He picks us up. We know that He's got the path and we just follow. And we know that He's always going to be with us as we're walking this road. David here talks about the valley of the shadow of death, okay? That's where the shepherds would take the sheep up to higher ground. It's summertime, so there's not much foliage or whatever down below. So you need to go up higher where there's some more green grass. And you would follow the canyons. And the canyons are shadowed. And in the canyons you have bandits, but you also have bears and lions and coyotes and wolves and snakes and all sorts of other things. And it was a dangerous place to be. But the Lord purposes us to be somewhere else. And although it's scary, we stay with the shepherd because we know that He's with us, that He is protecting us. We need not fear. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was a club. You know, shepherd wore it on a belt, he pulls it out and he whacks things with it. Any predator, any robber, pulls out the big club, and that's his weapon. The staff, is kind of, you know, you've all seen a picture of a shepherd's staff, I guess, a crook on the end. Okay, that wasn't used to beat the sheep. That was used to care for the sheep. It's an instrument of his care. All right, he would use this at times to draw the sheep. Let's say little sheep right here. She's born, the little sheep, and gets away from the mother. You need to get it back to the mother, right? Right? Okay, so instead of touching it, he'd wrap that around the neck and pick it up and take it back to the mother. Why does he not touch it? Same thing why you teach your kids, don't touch a little baby bird that fell off the tree. Mom won't take it back. So, crook, okay, takes it back. Or maybe it's in the mountain, he can't reach it, grabs it and takes it back to the flock. The shepherd's hook is used to draw the sheep back to the shepherd and to the flock. Okay? It's also used to count the sheep. I don't know about you, but I struggle with counting. Numbers are hard. They're foreign. They're like hieroglyphics. And have you ever seen those kids that have to touch tactically, just touch things as they count? It's pretty easy to count sheep as you 1, 2, 3. So it's used to count the sheep. Number 3, it's used to guide the sheep. Sometimes he takes the staff and he puts pressure on the behind and he pushes the sheep forward and directs them. Sometimes he maybe swats them, all right? And he directs, he guides the sheep with this shepherd's staff. And then the last one, he rescues the sheep with the shepherd's crook. I think I covered that one earlier. He grabs it, pulls it back into the flock. What do we see here? A picture, symbols of His protection over us. He's called us to walk on this path. We don't know where the end is always at, but He's called us to do it in obedience and our love for Him, knowing that He loves us. We walk this path and we know that He's with us, protecting us as always. He's always working on our behalf. I'm going to close this out. He purchased us. We were bought out of love, out of sacrifice. We are drawn into His fold because He purchased us. And He provides for us. Like nothing else. The pasture over there is not greener. We have everything that we need in Jesus. He picks us up when we fall, guys. I don't know where you're at right now. But I can imagine some of you are sitting here realizing that there's distance between you and the shepherd. That maybe you're not on the path anymore. That you need to get back on the path. That you need to start listening to His voice again. He restores. He forgives. He picks us up. He cleans us off. Number four, He has a path for us. He does. I remember, this always stood out to me. I'm sorry, I'm taking a tangent. But when I was in college, there was this one guy who I respected, I loved, a good Christian, godly man. And I don't know what it is. You go to Grand Canyon University and everyone's looking for a spouse. Okay? But his advice to me was, Scott, you know, God doesn't have one person for you. He's got like five and you just need to pick whichever one you want. And I didn't like that. I don't know, I didn't like that. I wanted to believe in a bigger God than just, you have five choices. And I'm glad I never listened to it, because I believe Christy is the right one. I got her parents here. But I believe there was one. And it took me a while to figure it out. But there was one. He has it all planned out if we're willing to trust Him and believe big. And then walk and follow Him in that trust. He has a plan for each of our lives. And it's for His purposes. But the walk is so much more enjoyable than trying to go off the path and create your own path. I don't know if you guys have been hiking before, but it's just always easier to follow the path that someone else has trailblazed instead of getting all the prickers in your socks and feet and everything else and having a snake that's right there. He has a great, wonderful, beautiful, joyful path for each of us. And there's still going to be rocks to challenge us, to make it fun along the way. But we must trust Him. And then alas, He never leaves us. He'll be walking with us. Our journey is not alone. We've got each other, but we've got the Shepherd watching over all of us. Let me pray for a second. Father, thank You for Your word. We thank You for the comfort that it brings. We thank You for the truth, Lord, of Your word. And we ask today, Lord, that You would speak to us about it, Lord, that You would help us to examine our lives and ask the important questions of where have we gone astray? Lord, in what areas have we not fully trusted You? Lord, help us above all realize that You love us. And for those here who have wandered away, Lord, who have been snatched by the lies of the enemy, or for those of us who have just become so comfortable in life that we're doing nothing for Your kingdom, Lord, pick us up and restore us. Give us the full confidence, Lord, that You have a path set for us and that You will walk with us on it. Lord, that You'd be glorified, that Your name would be made great, that others would come to see Jesus. Lord, we ask this all in His name. Amen.